probably one of your biggest successes, or that familiar to me anyway, is the You Might Be a Redneck series. How did that come about, and were you surprised at how well it did?
Well, I was shocked. It started because, I mean, obviously I've got this thick Southern accent, and I grew up out in the country hunting and fishing. And so when I got into comedy, you know, if I go to New York or LA, the only advice I got was, yo, Jeff, you got to take some voice lessons and lose that stupid accent you got. And I'm like, well, where I come from, you have a stupid accent. And so I was stubborn about the accent, but I drove a truck. I wore blue jeans and cowboy boots. I talked like this, and it was always good natured. But everywhere I was going, people were like, ah, Foxworthy, you're just an old redneck from Georgia. And of course, before comedy, I'd never been out of the South. But as I was going around the country, I was like, well, this isn't just a Southern thing. This is 15 minutes outside of every city I was seeing rednecks. And so one night I was playing in a club in Livonia, Michigan. And after the show, we're kind of sitting around the bar at the club talking, and they're kidding me about being a redneck. Well, the club we were playing in was attached to a bowling alley that had valet parking. And I said, wait a minute. If you don't think you have rednecks in Michigan, come look out the window. People are valet parking at the bowling alley. And I went back to the hotel that night, never thinking it was going to be a hook or books or whatever. And I wrote 10 ways to help people tell if they were a redneck or not. And I went back the next night and tried it. And not only were people laughing, they were pointing at each other. And I thought, well, if I can write 10, can I write 50 of them? If I write 50, can I write 300 of them? And so I kind of put it into a book form. I got turned down by the first 14 publishers that I sent it to. And the 15th one, I sent it, and the guy said, well, yeah, come in, we'll talk about it. And I went in, and he said, you know, this is kind of funny. He said, I think we might try to publish this. He said, how does $1,500 sound? And honestly, Doug, I thought, I didn't know if he was asking me for $1,500, because I didn't have it. And he was like, no, we'll pay you. I'm like, well, then, yeah, let's do it. And I remember saying to him, we're sitting there, I said, how many do you think we might sell? And he said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't sell 5,000 of them. And I think that first book sold 4.5 million copies. So, you know, from then on, every time I saw him, I would say, hey, I'm glad you don't know anything more about the book business than I do. but, you know, I never saw it coming. He never saw it coming. And, you know, they were one-liners. They were easy to remember. They were easy to retell. And I think that's what made people gravitate to them. And I quickly found out the true ones always got the biggest laughs. And so, you know, when people would say, you know, how do you come up with these? I'm like, there's no research. It's my family and friends. I'm telling you. And so it was just always fun. And even at the height of it, it was 5 minutes out of a 2-hour show. But, you know, people remembered them. Like I said, they were one line.